want to dive all into picking apart the mechanisms of what happens, why dieting tends to be the biggest struggle for people, why we get motivated the beginning of January and then somewhere it trickles off and we fall apart, and what does that path to really tapping into our power look like? Welcome to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute with me, Gina Warfel, a podcast that invites you on a journey to self-trust with your food and body so you can reclaim your health with confidence. As a registered dietitian who has multiple degrees in health, and yet I was constantly at war with my body and couldn't trust myself with food, I've made it my mission to show you that coming into harmony with your food and body is all possible. I challenge conventional and outdated ways of dieting to show you how to step into sovereignty over your food choices and life. I can't wait to share with you the depths of my own journey, as well as thoughts from experts and real human beings on their journey just like you. Thanks for listening. Hey, you guys, welcome to season 3 of the Mastering Mindfulness Institute podcast. It feels so good to be back here with you guys. Today, I want to dive all into picking apart the mechanisms of what happens, why dieting tends to be the biggest struggle for people, why we get motivated the beginning of January and then somewhere it trickles off and we fall apart, and what does that path to really tapping into our power look like? That's what the Mastering Mindfulness Institute is really all about and why I created so much of this work. If you've been around here for a while, you know I love peeling back the deeper layers, asking questions that a lot of people and health professionals won't ask and talk about, so that we can really understand why do we do what we do and really come into our power and not be dependent on restriction and avoidance and I can't have, but to really trust ourselves and our bodies. It's all really possible. So if you're new around here, I love digging into those deeper questions that a lot of people won't ask, which is, ooh, why do I know so much about health, but the biggest struggle is I can't stick to it? Or how do I really feel in my power? I was a classically trained registered dietitian because I really wanted to feel that. I wanted to feel confident with my body and my health. So I went to school, I got 2 degrees, I became a registered dietitian, I got my master's degree in human nutrition, and I learned so much science about the body and calories and food and nutrients and vitamins, and I learned all this information, but then I found that I was still struggling with my relationship to food. In fact, over time, it got worse and worse and worse with the more knowledge that I had. And so I knew so much about health, which created so much frustration because every day I had to think about food all day long of like, don't self-sabotage, don't lose control over your food. And it was just this constant stress and fear. And I really had to get honest with myself and ask, is this the career path you want to go down? Is this what you want to help and save the world with by putting people through the same experience that you're having, which is telling them what to eat, but then they struggle to stick to it, they self-sabotage, lose control, come back. And the diet industry teaches us that it's our fault if we can't stick to it. And I remember when I first became a dietitian, I started calling some of my colleagues and people I went to school with, and I was like, hey, all of my clients are struggling to stick with their goals. Like, they do it for a little bit and then they come back and they're like, oh, here's where I struggled. Here's the challenges that I had. I just couldn't stick to it. And I was like, they keep going through these same cycles again of motivation and then self-sabotage. And every single person's answer was, look, your job is to give them the information. It's their responsibility to follow through. And while there is some truth to that, I can't save anybody. There's a deeper problem that's not being addressed. And I wanted to bring this up. I thought that this was a great topic to open up with season 3 because we're newly in the beginning of the year, 2024. A lot of us are motivated and excited. And we want to know, how do we approach our health goals with confidence and to be able to feel in our power and not feel like we're on this intensity roller coaster of like, I have to do it. And then I'm dodging and willpowering. And so I really want to share some things that I've learned and what my philosophy is and how I teach other people so that you can be present, so that you can trust your body, you can listen to it and move forward with your health in a way that doesn't feel intense and restrictive and come with self-sabotage. And I love talking about this because I put out a poll on Instagram. I was just genuinely curious. And I put out a poll. I said, I want to know, like, are diets working for people? And I'm totally open to receiving that maybe they are. And so I asked, how many of you have tried a diet and it successfully worked for you? It lasted, your results lasted for longer than a year, whether you were still on it, whether you stopped it. How many of you have had success for over a year? And in the results, 30% of the people said, yes, I have had success. 70% of the people said, no, I tried and I failed. I couldn't stick to it. So first of all, let's say if a doctor said, let's have this surgery and the success rate is only 30%, 70%, you might die. Are you going to, it's a pretty poor success rate right off the bat. Second, I'd personally reached out to those 30% who said that they did have success. And I just was curious and I was like, can you share more? What did you do? What did you try? What got you the results? And I can't remember how many people it was, but everyone who responded except for two people, every person said, well, it actually only worked for a short time while I was on it. And then it didn't last. And then I couldn't stick to it. And actually I said, yes, I was successful, but I'm not really sure if I actually reached what I now am thinking about what success is. So it was really enlightening to see that a lot of people who marked yes in that 30% were like, I should have clicked no, it didn't really work for me. The two people who did say that they had success who responded to me said that the thing that worked for them was intermittent fasting, which is basically just giving yourself a window of not eating. Technically, that's not even really a diet. It's not a strategy for eating. It's just what times are you eating? So that's questionable if that even counts. So I really didn't even get one solid answer. Of the hundreds of people who answered on Instagram, I wish I remember how many people responded, but of all the people who took the poll, I really didn't have one person who had a good response of like, I tried Weight Watchers and it changed my life. And I'm not saying that there aren't those people. I just didn't get that response from anyone. Nobody said, I did this program, I loved it, and it empowered me for the rest of my life. And that's what I'm interested in. What needs to shift internally so that you feel empowered, that you can fly out of the nest like a birdie and feel empowered for the rest of your life so that you're not dependent on someone else's program, that it's not these on and off roller coasters? What is it that really creates that deep transformation? And that's what I'm interested in. That's what I'm curious. And it's not the easiest question to answer. It has been many years of me digging into this, but it's what I love the most. It can take patience. It can take a lot of persistence. And I almost think of this as like, this is a gladiator sport of that deep, deep getting to know ourselves. Moving through the fears, the challenges that we have, the resistance, the highs and the lows, and like to really stay in it, it takes courage and dedication and persistence. And so it's not easy, but for myself, and I think for the people who are drawn to this work, they're like, this is the most rewarding work in the world. I recently had one of my clients come do a private Mastering Mindfulness intensive in Costa Rica with me. We did 3 days of work together. And all she kept saying was, Gina, there are no words for this journey of going into myself, getting to know myself. It is the most sacred experience I could ever have. There are no words. And that to me is like, yes, that is it. That is it. This isn't about a diet. This is like deeply meeting and knowing yourself and like really peeling back the layers and discovering yourself and learning how to honor yourself and learning what your body is needed and craved. It's so beautiful. It's so rewarding. So if you're on that edge of like, I'm scared, I know it's scary. It's like standing at the edge of the cliff and being like, can I trust that if I go into this unknown within myself and my own self-discovery that it will be okay, that I'll be okay? And so far for everyone, it has been more than okay. It's been the most rewarding joy. So my love here for what I teach for the Mastering Mindfulness Institute for this podcast is to be able to have a safe space for us to share in vulnerability of this is where, what I want to learn about, this is how I want to grow. So it's so beautiful. And so why, what I want to talk about, what does that path look like of doing that deeper work, being able to cultivate a relationship with ourselves? I truly believe at the end of the day, we're not looking for more restriction. When we're starting a new health plan, a new program, we're not looking for restriction and someone to tell us what to do. We're looking for freedom. We're looking for peace. We're looking for self-trust. And that comes from inside. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that you can't use programs and plans and meal planning tools and health information. At heart, I am a science nerd. I love science. I love nutrition. I love all of those things. I still love reading. I'm fascinated with food, with the microbiome, with all the things. I love it. But there's nothing that's more impactful than that relationship with yourself and with your body. So I want to talk about, as we go into this new year, when I brought up that question in Instagram, how many of you have had success? It's really, really low. And so I want to peel apart what happens in the traditional dieting cycle, especially if you are starting your new health journey. What are some things that you really need to know to have a graceful, successful experience, especially if you've been through those roller coasters and cycles in the past? So let's talk about what happens in the traditional dieting cycle. I can speak to this because I know this cycle really well. But what it usually starts with is a first initial motivation. Maybe it's the new year. Maybe it's January 2024. Maybe you saw a picture of yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to get it together. Or you saw an old picture of yourself and you're like, dang, I was crushing it. Like, I want to get back to there. Whatever it is, you get like this hit of motivation. When you feel that hit of motivation that feels so inspiring, most people think that inspiring motivational hit is going to last forever. It's a huge mistake to let yourself be pulled by this initial hit of motivation. You need something deeper than motivation, because motivation is, it's like anything, it comes and goes. It's like any emotion. Emotions come and go. Motivation comes and goes. You might notice that you're really motivated after you saw that picture of yourself, or you saw something inspiring on Instagram, or it's a sunny day out, or you heard a good song. I love motivation. It feels good, but it has to go deeper than motivation. So step one in that dieting cycle is that most people use motivation. I want you to dig deeper and have a really deeper why, so that when things do get challenging, when you do, you know, when you want to give up, when days are challenging, it doesn't mean that you're perfect, but you have a really deep purpose for moving you. It's like, for me, my deep, deep why that will keep me going is that there's nothing that feels better in life than being able to trust myself with food, to trust my body, to be able to be at peace. Like, that inner peace in myself, there's no better feeling. And so it's worth it for me to lean into the journey to figure out, why am I not feeling inner peace? And really stay in the game and learn about, what does my body need? What are my attachments to foods, to cravings, as I'm moving through this journey that comes with shedding things and foods as we're changing our health, right? So we get this initial hit of motivation. That's usually the downfall, because what comes up is going to come back down. So we get the hit of motivation. We start making all of these big radical changes to our health. Maybe it's the foods that we're eating. We're exercising more. It's like January 1, I'm never eating that again. Well, something important to know is that your brain is constantly scanning your inner and outer environment to make sure that you're safe. And if changes start happening, it will alert your body that you're not safe. Your body doesn't know the difference if you are fasting and you're in survival, you don't have enough food, or if you're just trying to lose weight and get healthier. If your brain is scanning, your body is scanning your environment, and you start rapidly losing weight, your body doesn't know that you're trying to get healthier. It's going to think that you are in a survival state. And so now everything starts to shift. The greater the change that happens all at once, the greater those inner alarms come off. start setting off inside of your body. So if you don't have awareness of that, you're going to start falling for these self-sabotaging mechanisms that are put in place to keep you the same. So those self-sabotaging mechanisms might be your thoughts. Your mind might try to convince you through thought and through words. Most people don't have awareness that their mind is designed to do that. So you'll start hearing thoughts like, oh, come on, just go back. What's one day, right? What's one cookie? It's not that you can't ever eat a cookie, but you'll hear that voice. It sounds like that self-sabotaging voice. That's the mind trying to create safety and to get you to go back to your old ways. Without awareness of it, you'll probably have self-sabotage. Also, it will increase our cravings. It'll increase our appetite. Our body will start shifting its inner mechanisms to try to keep homeostasis. It's just a survival mechanism that's built. These are primal instincts. So if we have too much change, too fast all at once, and we're not aware of these primal mechanisms that are put in place, we'll self-sabotage. So that when that self-sabotage happens, you might end up grabbing the cookie or you grab the food, and then you kind of like lose this all control. In often these moments of vulnerability and weakness, like when we're stressed or we're out with friends and we're kind of in this mindless moment, we lose control, we self-sabotage, and we don't understand why it happened. And there's many different reasons why we self-sabotage. Our cravings come on for different reasons. Sometimes they protect us when our body senses that we're not safe, like we're losing weight too fast or we're making too many changes. Sometimes it's when we're stressed and our nervous system gets activated. That tells our body we need food for survival. So we'll be on this prowl, this animalistic like prowl for food, and it will feel like something took over our brain. And so your body, remember, your brain wants you to stay the same. So it'll take over control over your brain. You'll all of a sudden go into like this hypnotic-like state and grab some food impulsively and eat. And then once you get those excess calories, your body goes back into homeostasis, which is staying the same. Rational thinking comes back. And you're like, what did I just do? I just had goals. That doesn't make sense. Why would I do that? And then the guilt and the shame comes on because you're like, you know what you're supposed to do. You have this plan. You have this program. What's wrong with you? You weren't supposed to do that. And all the shame. But meanwhile, you don't realize that your body is designed to keep you safe and the same. And so the shame and the guilt comes on. What does the shame and the guilt do? Oh, you can't do this. You have no self-control. I knew you would do this. Guess what that does? That reaffirms our identity that that's who we are. We're the type of person who craves sugar, who doesn't have self-control, who has no discipline, who fails at dieting. Identity is one of the most powerful drivers of behavior. So if we believe that we're that person, it's going to further drive our behavior and the cycle continues. But then the shame and the guilt gets so intense that we have to get remotivated to start and we do the cycle again. So there's so many problems and pitfalls with this cycle. Number one, it's that we rely on that spark of motivation, that motivational high. That motivational high causes us overnight to change everything. And if we're not aware of these deeper drivers of self-sabotage, like one, did we make too many changes? Do we have deeper cravings or unmet needs that are causing our self-sabotage? Like our stress hormones are too high, our emotions are not being felt, our awareness isn't tuned in enough that we're going to just impulsively grab a food. There's so many different seeds and sources of self-sabotage that we want to explore with love and curiosity that's not done in dieting. So we fall for these patterns and then we overeat and then we feel shame and judgment and that reinforces our identity that we can't do it. And then we start to believe that nothing else is possible. Like I said, I know this cycle because I was trapped in it. And I remember so vividly laying in my bed one night, just feeling like I had went through another cycle. Within a day, I started motivated, self-sabotage, went to bed at night, feeling full of shame and judgment. And I remember thinking, how am I ever going to get out of this? I don't see a way out. And so my joy and commitment here is to sharing things that might help you see a way out, because I couldn't see that. And so I hope that my vulnerability and sharing my challenges, my experiences might help clear a pathway for you that's like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes so much sense of why this is setting me up to fail. Here's what I could do differently. So it's really getting to know that place of getting to know ourselves and having a different strategy. One, I don't like following the motivational highs and lows. Know that if you're using that motivational high, what comes up will eventually come back down. I had to get honest with myself and realize that when I had those motivational sparks, as recent as like today, right? If I feel that motivational high, I'm like, hey, Gina, let's calm it back down. It's great that you feel inspired today. I love that about you. But let's not get attached to it. And let's also know that there's something deeper than just the motivational highs, because every day won't feel motivating. And I have to really stay in this. I'm doing this for life, for the journey of knowing myself, not for a quick fix. And then as I move through the experience, the diet industry tells us that, let's get to the changes part. The next step in the cycle is when you start making all of your life changes. If you change everything overnight, it probably won't be sustainable. It's hard to just change our lives overnight when we still have the deeper patterns. So start making some changes, but take it slowly. Try not to alert all the safety mechanisms in your body so your body doesn't freak out and go into like full restriction to like, I need safety again. So I would recommend taking change slow and creating a lifestyle instead of like an obsessive restriction, because it just doesn't last. And then the next step is, what about when we get to those moments of self-sabotage? Diet culture tells us that appetite is bad. We have so many now appetite suppressants and things that curb cravings. And unfortunately, these are band-aids. They don't get to the root of really understanding ourselves. And I think of cravings and our appetite as a part of our body. It's something that our body does. And if we suppress it, we're kind of we're disowning a part of ourselves. It's actually like shaming a part of our own body that's just poorly understood. And there's a huge opportunity to understand this beautiful part of our body. And if you don't understand it yet, just keep listening to this podcast and it's all going to be revealed to you about what cravings do, what our appetite does, what regulates it going up and going down, and how do we work with it instead of feel against it. And so to open up this deeper exploration, if you're like me and you're like, yeah, I don't want to shame any part of my body. I want to work with it. I don't want medications to suppress a part of me. I want to feel all of me. I want to get to know it. I want to move closer to the things that I'm afraid of. I want to move closer to the things that I'm afraid of. And that is the power when you start doing this kind of work. You start befriending all these parts of your body that the rest of culture and society shames, like our cravings, our feelings, our appetite, right? Like, let's move closer to it instead of running away from it. So one shift that we need to have here is that cravings are not bad. Our appetite, our self-sabotage isn't bad. They are all just experiences that we can learn something really valuable from. So one of my core principles is there are no good or bad experiences. There are just experiences. And you can really learn a lot about yourself by just shifting towards curiosity. When you wake up in the morning, instead of bracing for catastrophe, you can open up your eyes with wonder and say, I wonder what the world is going to reveal to me today, what my experience is going to show me, what kind of contrast I'm going to have, difficulties, challenges, things that make me uncomfortable. But I wonder what those things can teach me and reveal to me. I was actually just today looking through one of my favorite books that came from Panache Desai's book, You Are Enough. And, I was reading his book today, and he says, where is it? Oh, there's so many good quotes in this book, but he says that life will always bring you the challenges to move towards your highest expression. Your job is to run toward the experience. Oh, it's so good. And then he says, you begin to trust that every experience, no matter how challenging or difficult to embrace, is gently guiding you toward your highest expression, no matter how you see it in your limited perspective. So I started seeing all of my challenges as my opportunities to help me grow, to learn, and it helped me move through that dieting cycle, right? Diets tell us that self-sabotage is bad. I say move towards it, get to know it, befriend it. What is it here to teach you? Peel back the deeper layers. What does your heart and soul really need? I know it takes courage to look at that and answer that question. Some people are too afraid to answer that question. Why? Because it might be a realization that your relationship hasn't been fulfilling and food has been giving that feeling of love, or your work hasn't been fulfilling and changes might need to happen there, or you've been putting yourself on your back on the back burner. All of these self-sabotaging moments can be teachers to showing us what is not working in our life, which means that big changes can happen. But on the other side of it, sometimes things fall apart so that we can really step into the next level of our expression. Sometimes we might realize that a relationship is not serving us and we move on from it, or we have hard conversations of, I don't have my needs being met, or something needs to finally change. Or food helps me cope with the stress of my work and I'm unhappy in my work. Maybe I need to start looking for a new opportunity, and it might come with transitions and changes and hard conversations. But if we're willing to lean into it, it can be the guide into learning about ourselves and our soul. And it can be the most beautiful, extraordinary unfolding. So I know we just went really deep there, but not being afraid to look at your self-sabotage, because it is empowering. That is your power. And not seeing those moments as good or bad, just an experience. And then you can let go of the judgment and that identity piece around it. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you've always done it in a way that has set you up to fail. The dieting cycle has kept you in this loop. So let's let go of that judgment, of that identity piece that gets driven in so deep after, and instead give ourselves the gift of elevating our identity and helping us and saying, I'm learning how to work with this body that no one ever taught me to. Oh man, today was a messy day. That's okay. I'm learning what my body needs. I'm learning its communication as if it was a new language that I've never even really learned before. So this is the each step in the dieting cycle. And these are the pieces that we need to address in that cycle to be able to get out of it and really come into our power with ourselves. And that's what I love. This is why the Mastering Mindfulness Institute exists. That's why the Institute exists. It's why this podcast exists, because you can move through those cycles if you always have been stuck in them. It's just doing things different. It's unconventional. It's uncomfortable, but that's where our place of growth and discovering our power really is. It's so beautiful. So how does our body communicate to us? It's how do we get to know how to work with this thing? There's different ways that you can start to have awareness of how your body communicates to you. One is getting to know our mind. The mind plays a really important role. Remember that the mind wants to keep you safe. So it wants you to stay the same. And if you failed in the past, your mind's job is to collect information and memories from the past and predict the future. So if you struggled in the past, your mind might really make you doubt that anything else is possible, because that's its job. So you might hear your mind communicate to you in thought. It might sound like words or thoughts. And we can say, thank you, mind, for keeping me safe, but it doesn't have to keep us stuck. If you're on the edge of making that leap into really looking, making a change and trying something new, not letting your thoughts completely stop you or self-sabotage you. The next communication is our cravings. Our cravings are a way that our body communicates to us. It lets us know that we need pleasure from like food or maybe social media or stimulation, or we need something. Our body's out of balance. Something's out of balance. Cravings are an important teacher, and to feel the difference between cravings and actual hunger. We also have communication through feelings and emotions. If you ever feel the difference between emotions, like what does joy feel like? It might feel open and expansive. What does excitement feel like? It might feel like electrifying. And, you know, what does anger feel like? It might feel contracting and intense and pressure. What does sadness feel like, might feel like? It might feel heavy or empty. What do all these different feelings feel like? The different sensations in our body, feeling emotion, that's a way that our body communicates to us. Is an experience serving us? Or some people say that emotions are the language of our soul, of what is true for us. And so emotions communicate in a very different way that thoughts do. They might be more subtle. They might be different sensations. It comes from the body. And then we also have communication through sensation, like physical pain. That's a warning of, hey, our bodies need to be taken care of. There's something wrong. Or hunger is, hey, our calories are low. We need food. Or fullness, I've had enough food. So sensation is another way that our body communicates to us. We want to get used to and familiar with all this different type of communication. What's really important to know is if you're like, but I can't feel my emotions, or I can't tell if I'm having cravings or hunger or fullness. It's all confusing. It's all mixed up. And that's where there's an opportunity to take this journey. If your nervous system is dysregulated and you're stressed, your awareness will be disconnected from your body. Those signals that go from your body and get processed up in the mind only happen when your body's in a safe state. And this isn't woo or a spiritual idea. This is actually science. When you eat food, it gets digested in your stomach and in your body. And then that information gets processed and sent up the vagus nerve, and it gets processed in the brain and the limbic system so that your brain can properly register, did you eat enough food or not? If you're in a stressed fight or flight state, that processing in the brain gets disconnected. So you might eat food, but you're not actually receiving the information that you've had enough food to eat, so you don't feel satisfied. So if you're in fight or flight, you're like, I don't know if I'm hungry. I don't know if I'm full. I'm eating. It doesn't make sense. The signals get confused. So it's really important to bring your body into regulation. And in Mastering Mindfulness, what we do is we peel back the layers to find what is the initial root that's creating this dysregulation? Did you grow up believing that you weren't enough? Or did you grow up in a state of fear? Are you currently in a state of stress? How do we create this feeling of peace and safety in our bodies? So we're like, oh, I can trust my body. I'm receiving the information it needs to tell me if I've had enough food to eat. Now we're getting our body functioning and back online and working like it's supposed to, right? So this nervous system regulation is huge to be able to listen and work with our bodies. And that's really the path of how we do come into our power. So I want to summarize the two differences. So the dieting process is motivational spark, all of the changes at once, self-sabotage because you didn't figure out what is the root of your self-sabotage. Shame and judgment drives your identity that this is who you are, and then you start the cycle over again. The path to your power, what we use in Mastering Mindfulness, is one, don't get so attached to the motivational high. Connect to your deep, deep why, and that's going to move you through these challenges. Two, don't make a ton of changes overnight. It's making tweaks in your lifestyle that feels safe in your body as you're ready, that doesn't create this nervous system trigger. Three, when you do have those moments of self-sabotage, they're valuable teachers. They will teach you so much of what you need to know about yourself. So don't see those experiences as good or bad. Just see them as learning experiences, and really regulate your nervous system so you can interpret, is this a craving? What's really happening here? Am I hungry? Am I full? You can start to hear your body's communication more accurately in those moments of self-sabotage. And then the final piece is shifting your identity. Your identity will have a huge impact on your behavior. So shift that story from you can't do this to I'm learning. I'm learning a new language. I'm learning how to communicate with my body. I'm building trust in a way that I haven't before. I'm tuning in. I trust in my cravings. I trust in this experience. I want to learn from it. And that becomes empowering, that you're learning. Let your identity evolve with you into empowerment. So this has really been the path that I've used that got me out of these self-sabotaging loops. And I know that when I talk about, you know, learn about your self-sabotage, it might sound kind of high level right now, like, well, where do I even begin? So this is what this podcast is really all about. I'm going to keep giving you stories and examples and things to think about, questions to ask yourself that you can peel back the layers. And if you want to, if this sounds exciting to you, interesting to you, the Mastering Mindfulness Institute, we open up enrollment every so often for a new coaching program where I work with an intimate group to help them through this process and guide them into that confidence and freedom. You can check that out. But I will be here podcasting now with season three, sharing all of my stories and my insights. If you liked it, I would so appreciate if you left a review, if you can subscribe and get notifications of when these are coming out again. You can message me on Instagram, gina.werfel. Mastering Mindfulness now has its own Instagram, mastering.mindfulness, where we have tailored things, posts all about thoughts and shifts and ideas and things that can help you along your journey. So there will be so many tools that I'm going to be sharing. And but feel free to reach out. Send me a message on Instagram if this resonated with you. If you're a new listener, if you're one of the OGs and you've been around for a while, I'd love to hear how this podcast has helped you or impacted your life. It's so nice to know when there's people listening on the other side. So thank you, whether you've been here for a long time or you're new around here. Thank you for listening, and I hope you got a ton of value out of this talk today, and I'll see you in the next episode.